Yeah. Krishnadas Kaviraj. O mind, just worship the lotus feet of the son of Nanda, which make one fearless. Having obtained this rare human birth, cross over this ocean of worldly existence through the association of saintly persons. Both in the day and at night, I remain sleepless, suffering the pains of heat and cold, the wind and the rain. For a fraction of flickering happiness, I have uselessly served wicked and miserly men. What assurance of real happiness is there in all of one's wealth, youthfulness, sons, and family members? This life is tottering like a drop of water on a lotus petal. Therefore, you should always serve and worship the divine feet of Lord Hari. It is the desire and great longing of Govinda Das to engage himself in the nine processes of bhakti, namely, hearing the glories of Lord Hari and chanting those glories, constantly remembering him and offering prayers to him, serving the Lord's lotus feet, serving the Supreme Lord as a servant, worshipping him with flowers and incense and so forth, serving him as a friend, and completely offering the Lord one's very self. So, we pass those back in. Govinda Das is praying to his mind. The mind is not the self. Just like the body is not yourself. So your mind may be your friend and it may be your enemy. With your mind, if you dwell in your mind on objects of the senses only and don't think of self-realization, Krishna consciousness, then your mind can drag you down to be like an animal. Even in ordinary consciousness, if you allow your mind to, your mind may discourage you or depress you, and you may think in a positive way. But the real positive thinking of the mind is, as he's saying, to take shelter in Krishna, to serve Krishna, chant his names, hear about him, and give up the attempt to be happy in this material life. So we all have to contend with our minds and try to control them, engage them in Krishna's service. This is the prayer. And he very poetically and strongly shows us that a person, if he doesn't worship Krishna, then he tries so hard to be happy. But what is the happiness in life? It's all so temporary, dangerous. Therefore, we should take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Abhaya Charanara. Charanara means at the lotus feet of Krishna. Abhaya means there's no fear there. So I have another song. Do the same. Take one and pass it. This is a song from a long poem by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya came to this world with his personal associates and divine abode to teach Sharanagati, surrender to the Almighty Godhead, and to freely distribute ecstatic love of God, which is ordinarily very difficult to obtain. This Sharanagati is the very life of the true devotee. The ways of Sharanagati are humility, dedication of the self, acceptance of the Lord as one's only maintainer, faith that Krishna will surely protect, execution of only those acts favorable to pure devotion, and renunciation of conduct averse to pure devotion. The youthful son of Nanda Maharaj, Sri Krishna, hears the prayers of anyone who takes refuge in him by this sixfold practice. Bhakti Vinod places a straw between his teeth, prostrates himself before the two Goswamis, Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan, and clasps their lotus feet with his hands. "I am certainly the lowest of men," he tells them, weeping, "but please make me the best of men by teaching me the ways of Sharanagati." Okay. So in the first song we sang, Bhajo Hore Mana, Govindadas said in the last verse that how should one fix the mind on Krishna? He said it starts with Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. So I wanted to discuss a little about the chanting of Hare Krishna in different ways, with reference to some statements in Prabhupada's book. Srila Prabhupada has made so many references to the chanting of Hare Krishna. And one of the devotees, Godbrother Shubhananda, who has made these different compilations of things from Prabhupada's books, such as he made one of preaching is the essence, all of things Prabhupada said about preaching. And then one about the relationship of the spiritual master and the disciple. I think you must have seen this book. I just put a hard cover of it. Srinamamrita. This has been published last February, March. This is all the things Prabhupada said about the holy name. So, I've taken about four selections to read and then discuss them. One is about showing how the Hare Krishna is very important in the life of the devotee, particularly the brahmachari. This is from the Bhagavatam. The brahmachari must chant the holy name upon rising in the morning. The purport says, in the morning, the first duty of a brahmachari seeking spiritual elevation is hutahutashana, to offer sacrificial oblations to the Supreme Lord. Those engaged in brahmacharya cannot sleep until 7 or 9 o'clock in the morning. They must rise early in the morning, at least 1.5 hours before the sun rises, and offer oblations, or in this age, they must chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna. As referred to by Lord Chaitanya, kalo nashteva, nashteva, nashteva gatir anyata. There is no other alternative in this age to chanting the holy name of the Lord. The brahmachari must rise early in the morning, and after placing himself, should chant the holy name of the Lord. I don't think we need that. Let's see. Well, this is very much at the center of our devotional life, not just for the brahmachari, the householder also. Of course, this may not be the normal rhythm of life for the karmi. He rises in time to get to his job. We don't say that one should not go to his job. But actually, those who are devotees, wherever they live, they find this very sublime to rise early and chant. Generally, one can't rise early because he's staying up so late the night before, doing what they're doing. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says how these the ways of the devotee and the non-devotee, they're quite opposite. What is time of sleeping, or what is night, rather, what is considered night time for the devotee is a time of awakening for the worldly man. And just the opposite, what is considered awakening for the devotee is a time of darkness. So that means not just times when one is awake and one is asleep, but the things to which they awaken to. The non-devotee, he awakens as the evening grows, because that is a time when all kinds of lusty and passionate activities are undertaken. He's interested not in self-realization. But in sex life, intoxication, passionate endeavors to try to find some relief after the day's work or week's work. But the devotee, since he is interested in using this human form of life, not for that debauched kind of existence, but he wants to use the human form of life to develop love of God and go back to the eternal spiritual world when this life is over. Therefore, he does not spend his evening like that. Rather, he rises early in the morning, at the time when the other fellow is just finishing his revels, and he chants Hare Krishna. This is the best time of day for spiritual enlightenment. Although any time is nice, that time is very special. And you can make, your mind is very peaceful, and you can chant and hear. And it's not that a devotee is a loafer. He has a full days of activity ahead of him, whatever it may be. But he knows that unless he rises early and chants like that, he will not get strength, because especially the Krishna consciousness movement, as I will read later also, another selection, it's not recommended that we simply stay in a secluded place and only chant. We have many activities to do, because we are preaching, those of us who are preaching especially, we have so much to do to try to organize missionary activities to bring this word to all people, because they are in the darkness. They're just the opposite of the devotee. So they have to be awakened to self-realization, or they waste the human life. If a person dies without understanding his eternal relationship with Krishna, that he is eternal spirit soul, and Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then his life will be wasted, even if he spent a lot of nights enjoying himself and days working hard. At the end of life, where will he go next life? He does not know. But according to transmigration of the soul, he has to take another body, and probably for misusing this human form of life, it will be a worse situation in a different species of life. So looked at in terms of his own benefit, this early rising is required for the brahmachari sadhana, and because he wants strength to execute missionary activities, he has to do it. But even if one isn't living in the temple, he's living at home and household life, why can't he do the same thing? He also can regulate his life so that he can rise early. This is called Brahma Muhurta hour. and rising early, even before the sun is up, and taking part in spiritual activity. And the best spiritual activity is this chanting. We chant kirtan singing, but also what is referred to on rising, generally with the beads, you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Rama, Rama, Rama. Now, what if one takes to some chanting and wants to prosecute spiritual life, but somehow or other he finds it inconvenient to continue chanting? So Prabhupada points out that it's so important that if that happens, if one stops chanting, then there's no question of his keeping up his devotional life. He writes in the Bhagavatam, we have to be very cautious in executing our spiritual duties by observing the rules and regulations and regularly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If we neglect doing this, we will eventually fall down. We must rise early in the morning, bathe, attend Mangalarti, worship the deities, chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, study the Vedic literatures, and follow all the rules prescribed by the Acharyas and the spiritual master. If we deviate from this process, we may fall down, even though we may be very highly advanced. Even if one is in the renounced order, he should never give up the regular principles. So, devotional service has to be conducted according to the Shruti and the Smriti, the authorized literatures. And at the heart of that is this, again, this sarana chanting. So that must all be there as part of our program. Otherwise, Maya is very strong, and even if a person says he'd like to be spiritually minded and avoid sinful activity, unless he regularly chants Hare Krishna 16 rounds, how can he ward himself off from the effects of Maya in this age? Prabhupada describes that when he tells the story of Ajamil, that long ago, in the past millennium, this when life was very pious, this Brahmin boy, Ajamil, he was going out on an innocent mission to collect some flowers for the deity. But on the street he saw a drunken Shudra embracing a woman. They were both drunk. And this boy became so disturbed and agitated that eventually he ruined his whole life and gave up his wife and family and his Brahminical practice and went after that prostitute. Srila Prabhupada remarks that in the former age when Ajamila was living, that was a rare sight to see something like that. He said, but nowadays, in Kali Yuga, these things are commonly seen. Public display of so-called love, or on every poster, we see so many pictures, practically pornographic pictures. So in this age, to maintain brahmacharya, or a life of celibacy or sexual regulation, to only have sex with the wife or raising children in God consciousness, is very hard. But we can be saved from these influences, nevertheless, if we observe rules and regulations of spiritual life. If we neglect doing this, Prabhupada says, we eventually fall down. So that should be prosecuted on the order of the spiritual master. That's what happens if we don't chant. Now, it doesn't happen so often, but another misdirection that is sometimes taken is somebody thinks that since this chanting is to be prosecuted, and great, great saints chant all the time, let me retire from all my activity, all other activities, and be like a great saint, like Haridas Thakur, and I'll only chant, and I won't do these other activities that are sometimes prescribed in the name of devotional service. Just like in order to build this temple, it wasn't done just by sitting down and chanting Hare Krishna. The devotees went out day after day and laboriously worked to sell clothing articles, to make thousands of dollars to build this temple of Krishna. So someone may think that this is material and he would prefer to chant only. Of course, there's no question of doing this work without chanting at least 16 rounds. That we already read, one cannot stand, eventually he will fall down. But neither could we expect to give up duties and in favor of exclusive chanting. There are many references, and here's one from the Bhagavatam. There are many who like to chant the Hare Krishna mantra in a silent, solitary place. But if one is not interested in preaching, talking constantly to the non-devotees, the influence of the modes of nature is very difficult to surpass. Therefore, unless one is extremely advanced in Krishna consciousness, one should not imitate Haridas Thakur, who had no other business than chanting the holy name always, 24 hours a day. Prahlad Maharaj does not condemn such a process. He accepts it, but without active service to the Lord, those who are not advanced prefer to chant the Hare Krishna mantra in a solitary place. Such activities constitute, in the language of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a type of cheating process, in the sense that they imitate the activities of exalted personalities like Haridas Thakur. In other words, one wants to get a reputation that he's a great saint. And so the great saint is sitting and chanting, so let me do that. But because he's not already a great saint, he has not performed long austerities or devotional service, then if he sits down and tries to be known, get a reputation, he's cheating. That was what the cheating means. Everyone should endeavor to preach the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in all parts of the world and thus become successful in spiritual life. One who is not very expert in preaching may chant in a secluded place, avoiding bad association, but for one who is actually advanced, preaching and meeting people who are not engaged in devotional service are not disadvantages. A devotee gives the non-devotees his association, but is not affected by their misbehavior. Thus, by the activities of a pure devotee, even those who are bereft of love of Godhead get a chance to become devotees of the Lord one day. Therefore, this is another misunderstanding. As it's a misunderstanding to think that one can abandon the regulative principles and do something called devotional service without chanting the prescribed rounds, so it's also a misunderstanding that he will do as Haridas Thakur and sit in a solitary bhajan kutir and only chant. We need the guidance of the spiritual master as to what is to be done and what is not to be done. And then there's one other consideration that I'll read from about the chanting. So if the chanting is done rightly, then another important feature of it is that it saves a person at the time of his death. From the Bhagavatam. The real success in life is Ante Narayana Smriti, remembering the holy name, attributes, activities, and form of the Lord at the time of death. Although we may be engaged in the Lord's devotional service in the temple, material conditions are so tough and inevitable that we may forget the Lord at the time of death due to a diseased condition or mental derangement. Therefore, we should pray to the Lord to be able to remember his lotus feet without fail at the time of death when we are in such a precarious position. While the body is fit, one should chant the holy name of the Lord loudly and distinctly. If one does so, it is quite possible that even at the time of death, he will be properly able to chant the holy name of the Lord with love and faith. The point is that death is the most difficult physical experience. Why do you die? Because something is completely inoperative in your body. So generally, if there is such a malfunction, somebody dies, he may have convulsion or be choked up, and sometimes under very painful conditions. And in any case, the mind is in pain. So that's not the best time to start thinking sublime thoughts about God. The distress is so great. And yet that's what we must do. Yam yam bhapi smaram bhavam tajat yante kalevanam tam tam avaiti kontaya siddhata bhava bhavita. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, whatever a person thinks of at the time of his death, that determines his next body. So, how to solve the predicament that the time of death is not a conducive time? We even say, rise early in the morning. It's a very nice, peaceful time to chant. That we agree that a peaceful situation is good for chanting. But death is not a peaceful situation. And yet that's the time when I need most to think of this. So the predicament is solved by a lifetime of practice. If someone is very practiced at something, then even when it's time for a test of that skill, whatever it may be, it's not that he's having to do it for the first time, but just as second nature, he can do it. So this is the idea. Chanting is, it's not that it doesn't count at other times, but we say practice in that sense, that all activities are counted at the end, and we'll be all attached to Krishna by our persevering and chanting so nicely as far as possible while we are fit and able to think of Krishna. This is very important. But we could go on. There's so many aspects to glorify the holy name and understand how it is so important, what to do, what not to do. These are just a few topics about chanting Hare Krishna. Now, do you have any questions about these things? Is called the Hare Krishna movement. We're making arrangements just so that people can come here and chant with us. And sometimes we go out, and even if they don't want to chant, that we go to some public place and they hear us, because the chanting is very purifying. But for those who take it up seriously, even if one just hears chanting Hare Krishna, that can save him from taking a lower birth. Because chanting is the name of God. It's not different than Krishna himself. So what to speak of those who seriously take it up? It's the prescribed method of yoga or meditation for this age. People misunderstand, they think all these boys are singing some sentimental thing. They don't understand that this is the highest form of yoga. What is yoga? The yoga means the sitting posture, the breathing control. But the goal of it is to concentrate the mind and the senses and to, in that way, come into the association of the Supreme Soul. In union, yoke means to link up something. So you link up your individual soul with the Supreme Soul. That same goal of that kind of yoga is achieved by mantra yoga. Much easier, more easily. Are you chanting? Any number of rounds?
No.
Sometimes. At least you chant in the kirtan very nicely, all of you. How about you? You chanting 16? What? You didn't finish today? How many did you say?
Oh,
well, you better go and chant. What? Prasadam? As far as going, say you take it, when you take initiation, you vow to chant 16 rounds at least every day. And here's a boy who has to still chant 4 rounds. So, we should, Prabhupada says that you should always chant your rounds. And if by chance some very unusual thing is happening and you don't chant for that day, then definitely the next day you should make them up. Not that you go day after day putting it off like a big debt, like you're getting hundreds of rounds behind or something. That should never happen. One day maybe something so extraordinary happens, then immediately the next day, even before eating or anything, it should be made up. But I think we'll break our meeting now, and then maybe you can finish your rounds. It happens often that you don't finish? What happened today? All right, so everyone can come up, I'll distribute some prasadam, and then we can prepare ourselves for taking rest and rising early to chant Hare Krishna.